Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Would love to connect with you. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab as we are going one-on-one with Phil Steele, the publisher of Phil Steele, the magazine, philsteele.com. And a moment ago, you were talking about you had very high projections and expectations for Baylor, but what was your initial reaction after you heard and learned about the fallout and the scandal with the Bears?
Well, I'm always the guy that just worries about the effects on the field, and on the field effects here for Baylor have turned out to be rather large. You look at the fact that Art Briles is a guy that never operated with a playbook, and I thought was brilliant in the way that they ran the offense and ran the team. Now, Jim Grobe's a guy that can get the most out of the talent on hand. I mean, he took Wake Forest to the Orange Bowl. That right there speaks volumes. But since the magazine went to the press now, 9 Baylor recruits, the signees this year from February, are not going to be on the Baylor team this year. They basically lost half the recruiting class. And 3 of the guys I had as projected starters, Trendavian Dixon at wide receiver, who was in for the spring, B.J. Autry on the offensive line, and Jeremy Falk at nose tackle. They lost a bunch of other recruits who would have been into the mix this year. I think, though, those effects of losing all those recruits would be more of a down-the-line effect when you lose half a recruiting class like that. They still have Seth Russell at QB. They still have Shaq Linwood and Johnny Jefferson at running back. Katie Cannon still back at receiver. There were question marks coming into the year about the offensive and defensive line. Those question marks are still there, but the linebacking core looks solid. The defensive backs look good. And I think Baylor, which I was originally thinking was a double-digit win team this year, that's why I had them in my preseason top 10, probably drops back to that 8-9 win level, but I'm not expecting a drastic drop-off.
Wow, a ton of uncertainty. I mean, do you even think that they'll finish in the top 25?
I did put them in my top 25 at the start of the year, and I think the possibility does exist. You look at their opening games, Northwestern State, SMU, Rice, and they get Oklahoma State at home. Their road games this year are Iowa State, West Virginia, both fall into the winnable category. And by the time you get to that Oklahoma State game and then into the meat of the schedule, which is October, November, the team will have almost over half a year to adjust to Jim Grobe as the head coach and anything else that's thrown in there. So I think the timing of the games, whereas they have just one ranked opponent in the first 6 games of the season, will help them out a lot this year.
Okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about the Texas Longhorns and Charlie Strong. How much pressure is he feeling in year 3? His overall record is 11-14.
Another losing season. Charlie Strong will be out of there. There's no doubt about that. But I am not expecting that this year. I think when you look at Texas, they are my number one most improved team in the country, and they're benefiting a little bit from this Baylor fallout, because I mentioned 9 Baylor recruits aren't signing there. Well, players like Devin Duvernay, who was my number 5 rated wide receiver out of high school and has signed at Texas Tech, can play right away. Donovan Duvernay, his brother, has signed at Texas and can play right away. Hudson and is on the offensive line, so they've added 4 Baylor recruits to the Texas team, making their recruiting class even stronger. And I think 2 areas are going to be vastly improved for Texas this year. First of all, defensively, Charlie Strong knows defense. You go back to his days at Florida, you go back to his days at Louisville. This is a guy that always had a top-notch defense. Well, when he came in here, he had a my way or the highway philosophy, and basically a lot of players left the program. That left him a little thin on the defensive side of the ball. And last year, they surprisingly gave up 453 yards per game. But this year, 8 returning starters. I like the size inside with Boyette and Ford at defensive tackle. I like Malik Jefferson, a linebacker. I mean, he was the number 1 rated linebacker recruit out of high school last year. Started 9 games, lived up to that billing last season. The secondary is loaded with size and speed and starting experience. They got about 9 guys that have started in the secondary. I think they'll come up with a quality first 4. They should have one of the most improved offenses in the country. Defenses. Offensively, when I look at them, I can see a transition much like TCU did a couple years ago. Remember, TCU coming off a 4-8 season, it only averaged 25 points per game. They shifted the offense and all of a sudden went to 46 points per game. Well, with Texas this year, they did, moving to the veer and shoot offense under Sterling Gilbert, and Shane Buechele is really a nice fit for this offense. He's a true freshman QB, looked great in the spring. I think he wins a starting job and gives them that passing game they've been lacking. They still have Tyrone Swoops on hand, give them that 18-wheeler package out of the quarterback spot. They got a couple of 250-pound running backs in Chris Warren and Donta Foreman, who I expect to wear teams down as the game goes on and then have some big fourth quarters running the football. At receiver, John Burton and Devontae Foreman are back. They add in Devin Duvernay. The offensive line is a veteran group with Vahe Perkins and Williams all back. So overall, I think they'll have a much improved offense, a much improved defense, and the special teams was already is a unit that is probably my biggest question mark because they don't rank in my top 40 in the country. But I think when you look at their talent and look at the schedule they have this year, they're poised for a big increase in the win total.
Talking about schedules, I look at October 8th, of course, when they face my Oklahoma Sooners. You know I'm a proud Sooner. Are the Sooners going to get the bounce back this year and prevail?
Well, they should. It seems like every year that they're a big favorite over Texas. Texas rises up and beats them. But this year, Oklahoma, I think, will be a little bit prepared, having been beaten by the Longhorns last year. So I do like Oklahoma in that, and they're a pretty good-sized favorite right now.
Okay, only have time to highlight one more team out of the Big 12 Conference. Let's give some love to Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Are they a top 25 team?
The potential is definitely there for Oklahoma State to get in the top 25. The question mark resides in the schedule. Now, when you look at Oklahoma State defensively, last year they gave up 439 yards per game. They've got seven starters back on defense. Top players are Vincent Taylor at defensive tackle, Jordan Burton at the star position. I don't think they're going to have one of the best defenses in the country, but it will be an improved unit. Now, offensively, their run game was poor last year. They only averaged 3.6 yards per carry. Chris Carson's back, but they add in Barry Sanders from Stanford. And I like the fact that he's a guy that can break tackles and he's elusive because they struggled on the offensive line last year. Now, the offensive line should be a much improved unit. They've got almost the entire group back from last season, about nine of the top 10 guys. And Mason Rudolph is back at quarterback. They are missing J.W. Walsh, however. Walsh was a guy that ran for 13 touchdowns, passed for 13 touchdowns last year, brought him in the red zone, brought him in when the offense was maybe needing a spark. They do not have J.W. Walsh this year, but Mason Rudolph is dangerous both running and passing the ball. I like the receiving game. In fact, James Washington, last year there was nine receivers in the Big 12 that had 1,000-plus yards receiving. James Washington's the only one back, maybe the top receiver in the Big 12 this year. Now, 2 years ago, they played a schedule where they had to play Oklahoma, TCU, Kansas State, and Baylor all on the road. They struggled to a 7-6 year. They play that same schedule this year. They're not going to struggle to 7-6. They're too talented, too experienced. But I've got them down for coming up with about seven, eight wins this season.
He is simply the best publisher of Phil Steele, the magazine, philsteele.com. That, of course, is the great Phil Steele. And who is going to be in that college football playoff this year?
Well, I went with a little bit of a curveball for the playoffs. A lot of folks say that you can't get two teams from the same conference in there, but I did that this year.
Ah.
I think both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to struggle as far as coming up with the playoff teams. And I'm going with Oklahoma from the Big 12,
yeah,
the winner of the Florida State-Clemson game,
okay,
in the ACC. And then in the out of the SEC, I'm going with both Alabama and LSU, who have my number one and number two defenses,
wow,
in the country.
Very good. Phil, always a pleasure. I know we kept you long. Thank you so much for joining us. What a great way to kick off our number one right here at YSR. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Alyssa. Great talking to you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Up next, we're going to be visiting with the president of the Houston Astros. That is Reed Ryan.